The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the official positions of the sponsors, advertisers, or presenters. Advertising does not imply endorsement by the sponsors and presenters.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Lighting Controls Podcast. We have another amazing guest for you today, but before we dive into the conversation, let me just take a minute to remind everyone that today's episode is presented by the Lighting Controls Association.
And it's also financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com. We've got all of our episodes, a news feed, a merch store, a training link, as well as a new council that we're trying to start up. If you want to get involved, check them out. But until then, let's get into the conversation. So today we have Tom. Tom, do you mind just giving us a quick breakdown on who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. My name is Tom Barber. I work for Color Kinetics. I joined Color Kinetics way back in 2006. So I'm sort of one of the elder statesmen, if you will, still remaining at Color Kinetics all these years later. So all of my experience in lighting controls came from Color Kinetics. It's been a wild ride over that period. I started before Color Kinetics was acquired by Philips Lighting back in the day. So I've seen, the early days, or not the early days, but came in after a while. And then, it's been a wild ride since then, for sure.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I think Color Kinetics has really had a lot of, investment in our industry, has really kind of helped shape a lot of the discussion regarding lighting controls. And so it's really great to have you, who's been kind of there from the beginning, on our podcast, because I think a lot of people know the name, might not know the technology, might not be too familiar with it. But, from your perspective on lighting controls, as it pertains to, color changing, for instance, what are you seeing in the world as it and contrasting it to where we started with everything?
I mean, things have come a long way. Early days at Color Kinetics, there were very few options for architectural lighting controls for color changing. Right. Color Kinetics was maybe one of the first to create some products that weren't consoles and weren't, theatrical based for architectural lighting. And nowadays it's gone all the way to, apps on your phone and, remote controls for string lights that you can get at Amazon. So it's been a huge change over all those years. And a lot of those things impact what people look for in lighting controls. In a world of applications, some people don't want a simple button station on the wall or something like that. They have more complicated ideas about what lighting control is. And even the consumer market has taught them, those things over the recent years.
Right. And so go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say Color Kinetics, I think was one of the forerunners of trying to make some simple to use tools for color changing lighting control. Back in the day, we made products that were the first products to have sort of timeline based controls where you could light out a lighting effect based on, I want this effect to start, it runs for a certain amount of time, it shuts off at a different time, and sort of making that easy to set up for small installations. Color Kinetics was founded in downtown Boston. And, when I joined, I heard lots of stories of people, taking a bag full of product around the city and trying to find any restaurant or bar or something in the city that wanted some cove lights for their bar. And, we could set up a simple installation in an afternoon, to generate business that way. And, we were successful in that sort of, literally on the street sort of marketing and sales.
Sure.
From there, and then over the years, getting into more complicated systems that could be distributed for larger installations. Color Kinetics is well known for doing large installations, bridges, buildings, that sort of thing. Installations that are distributed across multiple sites. So they have to be synchronized wirelessly or, with cloud-based control, all sorts of things. So it has been quite a change, even over just my period here since 2006.
Yeah, for sure. And, I think it is interesting to see, how things have kind of filtered into the consumer world when it comes to these sorts of designs and technologies because of the fact that, 10, 15 years ago, it wouldn't be a common thing for people to have these easily accessible color changing options inside of their house. And I think, you know, taking that idea of simplifying the controls and making it to the point where end users can just access it and use it however they see fit. You know, there is something to be said about a well-designed lighting design and application versus just replacing a bulb and making it color changing. But, you know, as far as the control application, you know, there is a lot of pushback in the industry when controls get too complex and people get really confused. And so finding that easy solution is really an ideal situation. And I would say that, you know, Color Kinetics has really done an interesting and excellent job of trying to motivate that sort of perception that it can be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do what we can. We've tried to simplify where we can, but right. also still offer complexity when customers need it, right? We have to be able to service all those types of people. But certainly the number one thing people ask for is simplicity. They don't want a lot of dials or knobs or anything to fiddle with. They want something that's simple, simple to set up, simple to program, simple to operate. So that's what we've tried to give, you know, and tried to make it as best as we can. There's certainly lots of other controls companies in the market that do their style of it. And there's some great products for lighting controls from lots of different vendors. So it's really come a long way, I think, in the time since CK started. Lots of great control options out there, whether you're looking for something that's more interactive. We get a lot of requests for, you know, I want a nice color wheel on the wall that I can pick my color live. Do you have apps on the phone for it? All those sorts of questions. Again, simple to use, but that open up a lot of control, a lot of ability with the lighting installations that people want.
So it seems like cloud has really kind of started to change the game for people, right? As far as ease of use and simplicity for an owner, right? They have three or four sites and they want to hit one button and send every site to blue, right? So how has that changed for you guys over the last few years? And then where do you see that potentially going, or what do you think is next with cloud as far as integrations and things like that?
It definitely has changed. You know, 10 years ago, nobody would have wanted that. Nobody would have thought it was secure enough that it would have worked. And then we had clients who needed that capability, you know, because they had multiple sites that they wanted to support from remote, or in many cases, just because they wanted our help from remote to support their installation. And so we needed a cloud-based connection into their installation. So certainly it's grown from there. We see more and more customers that want that level of control. They want that level, again, it's simplicity, right? They don't have to get in the car or drive to the office or whatever it might be to change color. They say, if I'm home with the kids, how do I open my phone and make sure I'm, you know, setting my building, my bridge, whatever it is, the plaza downtown, the campus, whatever it is, right? There's all sorts of applications to the color they want. So cloud connection is key. And it has become more prevalent. It has become more understood, again, coming from the consumer side, you know, products like Nest, right, where you can control your thermostat remotely over the cloud, all sorts of cloud connected services for your car, for applications, those sorts of things. It just becomes more and more ubiquitous in the world. So people understand it and they want it for their lighting as well. So it's a big part of what we do. So we can, you know, we certainly see that staying as part of the solution, a cloud-based solution. When people do have security concerns or they don't want that sort of external access, we can lock those things to their premises. We can do it, you know, by all sorts of levels of security, you know, user sign-in, just like you would with your bank account or anything like that. It's that secure if that's how you want it. So the cloud connection ability is there, and when people want it, certainly we can do it. Many people ask for it, but many people still just want sort of a local solution, and it all depends on the scale, right? If somebody's got, you know, a few lights in their, you know, premium conference room at their office, they may not want a cloud solution for that. But if you're managing multiple municipal sites downtown, it, you know, certainly makes cloud connection, certainly makes that easier to manage. And give peace of mind to the people who are operating it, maintaining it, controlling it.
So, you know, just for people who are not familiar with, you know, the technology behind all of this, do you mind just sharing what one of the things that makes it really unique is really fascinating to me? And do you mind just like kind of diving a little bit into how the technology works for Color Kinetics equipment?
For sure. So we have numerous different luminaire products, floodlights, linear lights, whatever it might be. They can all be controlled from one controller. That controller is functionally a small scale PC that lives on site. It's wired into the lighting system. So our lighting system is a network of data communication. It's usually a closed network, but you can integrate it with other on-site data networks if you want to have, you know, access into the system from your desktop, whatever it might be. We can link it up that way. So there's a device that is the controller that holds your schedule of effects, right? When do the lights come on at night? What color are they on Tuesday versus Wednesday? Whatever that might be. So that closed system can then have access to the cloud. And there's multiple ways to do that. You can do that, again, put it on your local infrastructure network if it's on site. Put it on, the most common way to do it is just put it on a cellular modem. So you get a dedicated 4G or 5G modem that connects into the system. We aren't transmitting a lot of data. We are not transmitting the light effects over the cloud. All we're transmitting is access to what's the schedule, what pre-designed effect is triggered at that time. So we can actually do this with very low data overhead, right? It's not like trying to watch Netflix over the cloud on your phone or something like that. So having a cellular modem in the system, sometimes it's just done by Wi-Fi. So any way that you can get, again, an internet connection into the lighting network, and there's all different types depending on the on the application. And then from there, we have a software application, either, again, on the desktop or your phone. It's actually just a website that you go to, log into. The way our system works is you can be registered for multiple sites. So that's where you can access, as Ron mentioned, right? If I've got multiple sites on campus that I want to change, those would all be visible in our system. You can push into those, see what effect is running, what effect do you want to trigger, do you want to change the schedule? And that can all, again, be done by the cloud. Because we've had, you know, all sorts of cases where people say, something just happened, I need the lights to be purple tonight at 7 p.m. and that's not what they're going to be. How do I do that? And so that cloud connection can enable that sort of thing. Or again, triggering multiple sites in the city to all go blue at the same time for some festival, for some event, some announcement, whatever it might be. All these cases have come up in many of our different installations around the country. So there's a lot of flexibility in it. It does take a lot of work to set up, to sort of anticipate what might you want to do. But certainly we can design things on the fly. That was also part of the inherent nature of the system. Our first client for this, which was sort of a home-built system that we didn't have a name for. It was sort of a Frankenstein remote access system for an installation in New York City. We knew they would not know what they needed on any given day. So they said, well, I need to be able to call you in the afternoon with tonight's effect, whatever it is. We said, okay, great, that's fine. Call us, we'll connect into your system, we'll set it up. And then ultimately we sort of enhanced it and augmented it from there so that the people on site could set that. And we, you know, sort of anticipated their needs a little bit that way. But yeah, we've implemented this on many installations around the country, around the world. Again, if it's cloud connected, we can control installations that are in other states, other cities, other countries. So it's really flexible and powerful in that way.
Well, I think that that's a interesting overlap that you don't see as often anymore, where you have the fixtures and the controls by the same manufacturer. Oftentimes, you know, you get a lot of manufacturers that say, well, fixtures, we're agnostic to controls, or vice versa. You know, we provide the controls, but you got to select the lighting. We're not going to. So it is kind of nice to have that all under one roof approach to it, because that way it does kind of streamline a bit of the process to be able to do that. Hey, I, you know, want the rooftop of my high rise in the middle of downtown to change color to this color. It's not five manufacturers that you're working through, it's one. But it still seems as though there's a significant presence with integrators to use Color Kinetics, even though It has that holistic approach.
Yeah, our background, the reason for having a full solution came from the early days when we could not have relied on multiple vendors to do what we were trying to do, right? Nobody wanted a bulky theatrical console in the closet somewhere to change the lights in the conference room. That just wasn't viable. So our approach at that time, and this goes back to the early 2000s when these products were invented, was CK will design and manufacture a full solution if you choose to use it. And other vendors for controls, other vendors for luminaires grew over time. And so again, we offer a full solution, but there's other vendors out there that make great control products that we absolutely support and integrate with. People have certainly used Color Kinetics Control with other luminaire vendors as well. So I like to think there's the best of all the options. So if you want a full one vendor solution from us, we can certainly do that. If somebody wants to mix and match, that's absolutely great. And we have tons of installations that are built that way.
So we talked a little bit about how easy cloud can be to integrate for an end user and the abilities it gives them. But what else do you offer by having your system cloud connected? What about from a maintenance perspective and, as far as access for technicians, what else do you offer as far as part of your cloud, system for the owner to look at their system, technicians to, see reports and things like that?
That's a great question. A big part of the remote cloud system that we offer is a monitoring system. The part we were talking about before was sort of the content creation and content management part. What we do offer is a monitoring system. Again, this grew out of having installations that were distributed across buildings and bridges where you wouldn't be able to visually see, are all my lights working? So we created a system. Our luminaires have the ability to have bi-directional communication from the luminaire back to the controller. So our cloud system can sort of monitor and check in with your whole installation, and all of the fixtures can sort of report in and say, yep, I'm still active, I'm still working. So the technicians, the maintenance staff, whoever it is, can see, okay, I got today's report, and that can come in an email, that can come in a text. There is a dashboard on the website for that. So you can have sort of that peace of mind of, okay, my Color Kinetics system ran its check, everything is working, I don't have to worry, everything's going to go fine. If something's not right, you'll get a notice, and there's lots of ways to set up reporting for that. Do you want to be notified immediately? You just want sort of like a daily check-in, whatever it is, and every client can set that up separately. Sometimes it's simple as, the breaker tripped and I've just got to go up to the electrical room and reset it. Sometimes something more serious has gone wrong, and that's where technicians need to step in. So the monitoring part of it is an important piece. Again, that's part of the whole life cycle and sort of lifetime management of an installation. Again, at large scale, it becomes more and more important. So it is an important question, right? Having that ability to check in on your fixtures electronically, and that can be, again, on site or over the cloud. So we certainly set it up where if I'm responsible for an installation in New York City, for example, this is not how I'm set up, but it could be, I might get a notice that says, hey, these fixtures are out. I've got to make a call, send a tech. Do I need to order replacement fixtures right away? Whatever it might be. So there's certainly different ways to sort of act on the information that the monitoring system can give you to help in those cases.
Yeah, one of the things that I like about that so much is I can get an email at 12 or 2 in the afternoon, and I know there's an issue with a lighting fixture before the system's even turned on that night, right? We can dispatch a technician, or I can call the owner and say, hey, this entire power supply is offline. Can you take a look at this circuit? And no one else has any idea this has happened, but we know all this information before the system's even turned on, because 99 times out of 100, you get the panicked phone call after the system turns on and they realize there's lights out, and you're able to preempt all that on the front end by generating these reports at whatever time you deem necessary. So is that something that's proprietary for you guys and to just your cloud system?
It is not proprietary just to ours. We do have a partner company that can do the same monitoring through our controller as well, or through their controller. It is a service that we offer directly, and there's all different levels of who then takes ownership of sort of the monitoring and effect, the resolution that can be done. We've certainly trained the local maintenance staffs for the buildings, the municipalities that use our systems to do that. They can contract one of our partners to do it if they want to sort of offload that to some local partner company. Sometimes Color Kinetics manages that directly, and that's the relationship we have with that client, with that partner. So there's multiple ways to get there. Again, the way we do it is proprietary in the way that our system uses a proprietary protocol, our version of data over Ethernet to do that, that check-in, that monitoring system. So I don't think we've enabled that with a third-party controller at this point.
All right. So let's envision that I'm a lighting designer who's never used Color Kinetics before, unfamiliar with lighting controls. I'm really sold based on this podcast, and I want to get involved and figure out how to use this. I've got a high-rise facade that I want to put some lighting on. What do I do first?
I mean, the first thing I would say, think about how do you want your building, your bridge, your whatever it is, how do you want it to look? Are you thinking in terms of bright, vibrant colors? Are you thinking more traditional white light with color on holidays, that sort of thing? It all starts with an intent. How do you want your building, your property, whatever it is, to look? From there, you can contact us. You can contact one of our sales partners. We'll help you design the system in terms of what are the correct luminaires, how bright do you need the system to be, certainly working with whatever budget they have. And then from there, we get into the discussion of, well, how do you want the controls to operate? Do you want sort of interactive live control where you can pick a color on the fly? Do you just want a schedule of things that happen on a daily basis, special events for holidays, that sort of thing? Do you want the cloud connection so that somebody remote can manage it, whether it's somebody, on site, somebody, attached to the property? Do you want to have a partner do it? So these are the discussions that we have, sort of more about what is somebody looking for. One of the tools that I use, our website has a list of projects that we've done in the past all over the world. Great pictures. In many cases, seeing a picture of Color Kinetics fixtures in action tells more story than I can in words or, showing spec sheet or whatever. Yeah. So when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm thinking of something, help me with it, I'll show some pictures, I'll give some options that way, right? Do we want to do floodlighting? Do we want to do grazing? Are you thinking of, again, colored light all of the time, some of the time, whatever it is? We'll talk through all those options and then start getting into, okay, what's the reality? Where can we install fixtures? What's the budget? And go through that process. But it really starts with intent.
Right. Yeah, I think, that's pretty consistent across the board, is that a lot of groups are saying, come with an idea that you're going for. Don't just say, I want color changing. And I think that really helps communicate, because you're not just dealing with controls when you're dealing with this equipment, you're dealing with fixtures too, in a lot of cases. And so it's not just about, taking a bunch of colored lights, throwing them at a building and being done. You've got to think about how you're aiming it, how you're designing the lighting on top of how you're doing the control system for that to support the control intent. And so starting with a control intent narrative, is really the most effective starting place. And then you can kind of go from there. And it sounds like there's a lot of support channels through Color Kinetics and through your sales reps to be able to help get from 0 to 100 on this project.
There's absolutely a lot of support, right? No, nobody has to go through this themselves. And we do sometimes have people that say, I just want it to look great. I don't really want to know the details. And they trust us. We have been doing this a long time. They trust their local partners. There's certainly cases where somebody already has a relationship with our local sales partner. And so they trust them to help them with this new part. In many cases, putting some color changing lighting is new to these people. They may only know roadway lighting and standard office lighting, whatever it might be. We've had all sorts of cases where people want to get into the world of using color changing lighting. Maybe it's because they've in the past rented theatrical lighting to have color changing on certain events, and they think, well, can't I have this all the time, right? Maybe I want to avoid that expense of those rentals, and let's have this all the time. In that vein, one of the other main changes that has happened in the lighting and controls market is people who have said, you know, some percentage of the time, and sometimes it's 99% of the time, they say, I want a traditional classic look of white light, but I want the option for color when I want it. Again, something important happens, it's a holiday, it's a festival, the team wins the big dance, whatever it might be. And so certainly we support that as well. And that's another adaptation we've made to controls over the time, which is being able to control our fixtures, putting out really high quality white light, as well as color equally, if not, you know, better than just color.
So, you know, focusing on a high quality white light is always something that I personally talk about with clients. Yeah, it's very important to me. I know it's important to CK. So can you talk a little bit about some of the technology in the fixtures? You have, you know, RGB, RGBW, RGBA, but there's another technology that you guys have in your fixtures. And would you be able to talk about that and how that, you know, interacts with white lighting and CRI and all that good stuff?
Absolutely. We do have a specific technology that we call IntelliHue, which does the same purpose as RGBW in that it can provide white light and color from the same fixture. The difference is that it's a different mix of LEDs. It's not RGBW. It has some different options built into it. Compared to an RGBW fixture, an IntelliHue fixture can give you higher brightness when it comes to your standard most common color temperatures like 3000 Kelvin or 3500K. It can give you higher CRI over a static white light installation. So even in terms of the quality of white light, you can pick your color temperature, your chosen color temperature. You can get great CRI out of it. That's where the high quality part of it comes in. And you'd be surprised how many people don't even think of that when they're doing, for example, an exterior project. But the quality of the white light really impacts how does your building look if you've got expensive cladding or you've got special paint or whatever the stonework is, right? You need good light to make that stand out. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the architecture of whatever we're lighting up stand out in whatever way the client wants. So IntelliHue is our technology for that. We would say it's better than RGBW for the same features. Color and white light out of the fixtures, choosing your color temperature of white light, and having high quality white light as well. There's some other benefits like being able to do very subtle tinting of your white light. I equate it to like using when you buy white paint. Sometimes you can get white paint that has just the barest hint of blue or green or whatever it is. We can do that same sort of effect out of the white light. So IntelliHue is our attempt at making the best of all worlds out of an LED option from our fixtures. Again, having that ability for great white light when you want it, even if that's most of the time, even if that's barely any of the time, but the ability with the push of a button or just by the effect of the schedule to have whatever color you want when you want it.
And so, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, when it comes to this technology, how much control does one have over the discrete colors within the fixture?
You have as much control as you want. So if you want to take full control over every color that's in the fixture, you can certainly do that. And we have many clients who do that. We certainly work with people who are very knowledgeable in color and in lighting design, and they want full control out of what our fixtures do. So we certainly offer that, where you control it as fine grain as you like. We also have options to make it much simpler. So you can simply pick a color temperature or a color in our control system or in somebody else's control system. And that just happens. And you don't need to know what the individual colors are doing, how they're being mixed together. You can maybe trust us that we're doing the correct thing and we're doing the best, brightest, higher CRI version of whatever color temperature you chose out of the fixture. So certainly we've tried to make it simple through a very sort of high-tech set of technologies in our products. But for the people that want that control, that direct fine grain control, we certainly offer that.
And so, you know, as far as like people using the products? You know, you said you have people who ask for that full level of control and that they're very skilled in lighting and color mixing and all of that. But, you know, how frequently would you say people are asking for the simplest versus the most complex version of these things? Or is it somewhere in between? Like, what's the most common situation with color?
I would say it's probably a 50-50 mix. So certainly a lot of our installations that are geared more sort of to municipalities, again, for bridges, facades, that sort of thing, they probably want a simpler solution where they're just thinking sort of at higher level, where they're just thinking, you know, white light most of the time, a great white light, let me pick some colors on some holidays or some special events, that sort of thing. We certainly do projects that are more artistic. And so in many cases, the end client is an artist or a lighting designer, and that's where the ability for them to control it exactly as they want comes into play. So to be honest, it's probably a 50-50 split in terms of who wants the control, who wants to just have something simpler and easy to use.
Well, and I think, you know, the reason why I'm asking that question is because there are a lot of people out there who will say, well, you know, color changing for the sake of color changing is just sort of a waste because, you know, it's like, well, what are you actually doing with this lighting? Why are you doing the color changing versus, you know, having a real precise reason to do it? So I guess it's kind of a comparison of toys versus applications. You know, are you just trying to have a toy where you can change color however you want, or are you actually trying to do something artistic with what you're doing with the light?
That's true. In many cases, you know, the color changing lighting is there certainly for a more decorative effect, right? It's closer to what you would say a toy is, which is I've got a building, I've got a bridge, I just really want it to look great. We do a lot of installations where people say, well, I need the colors to tie into my corporate colors. I need it to tie into, you know, if it's on a campus, they want it to tie into the school colors, those sorts of things. They're trying to bring some sort of community connection through color. You know, sometimes it's got more, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but more of a political bent where they want certain colors for certain events to support certain causes, whatever it might be. So color has a lot of impact in a lot of simple ways, again, decorative, artistic, but it can, you know, be tied into, you know, something more meaningful in whatever the client is looking for.
Yeah, I once had a client who wanted their color changing lighting to reflect the efficiency of the building at the time. And so as efficiency went up, it became greener and greener. And as efficiency went down, it became more and more amber. And so it kind of had this interesting swaying effect of color, but it was a unique application. But yeah, I mean, so like, you know, there's all these kinds of things, but did it need to be a specific amber? No. Did it need to be a specific green? Probably not. But there were also like, there was a major manufacturer of product that had a very specific blue that was like, we had it right down to the RAL and everything and finding that. Now, when it comes to finding the right color, you know, what if it were illuminating a surface? You know, how do you make sure that the right color is reflecting off that surface? Because the surface could modify that.
That is a very important point. We do often talk with people, again, we talked about what is your intent as we start talking about the, you know, the implementation. We talk about, well, okay, what are we lighting up? What is the material? Is it brick? Is it steel? Is it glass? Whatever it might be, is it painted? So we do have to take those things into account. When it comes to interior projects, we talk about, right, what's the interior design? What are the rugs? What are the furniture, right? Is it wood grain? Is it more modern, whatever it might be. So it's an important point that the color of the surface you're lighting up has a huge impact. And that's one of the reasons for having some variability. We've worked with a number of clients who say, well, I think I want a certain color temperature, but I won't know until we get out there. And maybe I want to tweak it because I've got a very specific cladding. I've got a very specific paint that I'm working with. We have done certain projects where people say, well, I'm trying to recreate the specific sort of wavelengths and look of a conventional lamp. Can you guys do that? We've had, for example, sports clients who've said, well, the color of the lights have to exactly match the color of our sports jerseys, that sort of thing, which is always a challenge because it's a different method of lighting. So we've done all sorts of custom projects where we can custom craft our fixtures to certain wavelengths that will, you know, enhance those colors, whether it's special paint, whether it's special materials. Yeah, I'm thinking of an example where we did lighting on a building that was sort of a patinaed copper roof. And so it was very challenging to get the right mix of greens and ambers that really highlighted that sort of very specific aged look of the building, and really highlight it and make it look great, not wash it out with the wrong colors, that sort of thing. So we've certainly gone through those sorts of things on numerous projects.
No, I think that that's really a critical component. You know, it's easy enough to say, oh, it's RGBW and it'll cover everything I need it to cover. But the fact is that, you know, it doesn't cover every spectrum of color. And so if you are really trying to dial into a precise color range, or trying to illuminate a surface that has a very specific palette to really make sure that you're using an illumination source that will help highlight rather than hinder the color that's coming off of that. So, you know, further argument for this IntelliHue technology, rather than just using Amazon RGBW tape. So as you know, but we're getting close to time here, and I want to wrap up a portion of this. We can, you know, we still got a little bit of time, but I think the bite-sized component of all of this is really that when it comes to color changing technology, and you know, when as it pertains to the control system itself, you know, keeping in mind what the fixtures are that you're using is just as important. And so, you know, we've spent a huge amount of time talking about controls on this podcast because it's the Lighting Controls podcast. But the point that I like to drive home in everybody whenever I teach a class or something is, without a luminaire, you have nothing to control. So really making sure that whatever you're using in your lighting control system is high quality, designed for what you need it to design for. And so when it comes to color kinetics, you know, you guys have been in the business for a long time. Like you said, before really people started using commercial color changing lighting in this world, you know, before you would have gels or ways of manually affecting the color of the light that you'd use similar to theatrical lighting, but you didn't really have this adjustability, this tunability, this changeability that you could leverage in your architectural spaces. So having this resource was really important at the beginning, and you've just slowly perfected this, this technology over time to really support the goal, which is providing a highly effective color changing light in a space. And the reason why you've managed, how you've managed to perfect this is the control system, because the control platform is easy to use. I mean, there are certainly a lot of out of the box lighting control systems out there that purport to be easy to use, but they don't tie themselves directly to a fixture. And additionally, their programming might be very simplistic, and you can't expound, you can't get past that simplistic programming. So having, you know, the ability to break into the advanced parts of the programming really gives that added edge. So, you know, that's just something to think through. And the last point is, you know, when you're doing a lighting control design, when you're doing a lighting design in general, having an intent, having a goal in mind is a lot better than just saying, well, you know, the owner wants to do X, and so we're trying to provide them with X. You know, actually going through, okay, what are you lighting? How are you lighting it? You know, what's the expected programming of this? Is it just going to be broad brush colors, or are you going to be fine tuning this color? You know, all of these things are still super important and very helpful to the manufacturer if they're going to help you get through this process. And so, you know, I think the resources and support that you have done for this industry are really phenomenal. And I think that's really the big message takeaway from this episode that I like people to walk away with.
Thanks. I appreciate the compliment. And we've gone through the whole history of starting with color connect, starting with color. We adapted into white light from there, and now our systems can do both. So we would say there's no reason to just do white light when you can also have color, or why just have color when you can also have white light. So, and also, you know, again, it's control is important. Control is the key to making it work. regardless of the installation.
Yeah, and so now that we've seen such a huge adoption to cloud, and you guys have that added benefit of being able to get that remote, you know, monitoring and feedback back to technicians and to clients, what is the next big thing? Not necessarily what's next, but what do you think is sort of the next big leap? What's the next big thing for the consumer and the customer that is going to, you know, cloud was a big step. So where are we heading next?
Certainly, I think there's lots more adoption of cloud to go on. There's still a lot of projects that we do that are local that don't have that cloud connection. We're still trying to advance how easy that is to do through new, you know, more dedicated apps on your phone. Certainly, adopting a more mobile approach to it is one of the things that we're looking at. Again, we envision a world where everything is color and white together, not just one or the other, in all sorts of applications. Maybe not in, you know, safety-specific applications like roadway or that sort of thing, but anywhere where the public could go, you could add some color very capably. So I guess the future, I would say, is, you know, color everywhere when you want it, cloud connection everywhere when you want it. There aren't any new, you know, light sources on the market. I think LED will continue to be the prime light source for many years to come. We haven't seen anything new come along on that front. There's just all sorts of different applications to keep expanding into from here.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I think the other question that I have is, from your perspective, is there something we could be doing better in this industry?
That's an interesting question. I guess still just trying to, going back to the earlier topic, to explain that it can be simple. Controls is becoming a bigger part of all types of lighting, even when it comes to office lighting. Schools are a big, place where lighting control is being implemented by default now, whether that's just for energy savings reasons or other reasons. So just continuing to try to explain, control does not have to be complicated. It can be simple. It can be invisible if that's what you like. But there's a lot of options behind it. Whether you're doing conventional lighting, not conventional, LED based, but conventional applications like office lighting, retail lighting, whatever it is, control should be the backbone of helping you get what you're trying to get. Again, if that's just energy savings, that's great. If that's biological effects like circadian rhythm control or any of those sorts of features, control is the key to doing that as well. So more control everywhere is going to be, I think, where lighting continues to go. It's already started, whether that's driven by standards, whether it's driven by legal requirements, those sorts of things, or just by design, just by, you know, the requirements of the owners, you know, whether that's a bridge, a building, a campus, again, whatever it might be.
Interesting. So, Tom, thank you. This has been a great conversation. And, you know, we've really seen so much with CK over the years, right? CK really was at the forefront of sort of this whole color changing LED revolution for architectural, right? There's simply no denying that that was the case. You know, and there's been a lot of time spent, obviously, in the LEDs, the chemistry of the color mixing, the optics, which we didn't even really touch on during the podcast at all, the control solution and cloud. And there's just so much there. And you know, ultimately, like you said, controls is going to drive everything. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes with potential incentives, or if it's sort of hammered down and people are forced to do things, or how we get there. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens over the next 5, 10, 15 years. So really, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some of, you know, what you do and what CK brings to the table, and really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. So just take a minute to remind everyone, today's episode was presented by the LCA, the Lighting Controls Association.
And it's financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com. We have all of our episodes, a news feed, a merch store, a training blog, as well as a council that we're starting to get people involved in, and hopefully we'll see some materials coming out from soon. But until then, thank you so much for joining us. And Tom, really appreciate you joining us. This was a great conversation.